begin reading there about verse 16 in just a moment. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to be here to worship together today. We thank you for this special day and for the mothers who are here. And Father, what a privilege it is to honor them for what they meant to each of us in our life. And Father, for those of us whose mothers are not around anymore, Father, we just still especially thank you for them, and we want to honor them in our memories today as well. And Lord, we just pray that your will might be done through this service, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about two mothers, two unlikely mothers, I think, that you probably would ever be talking about. Now, there's a lot of important mothers in the Scripture, we know. And I preach sermons on most of them. There we got Eve, and we got Sarah, and Rebecca, and Rachel, and Mary, and Ruth, and Naomi, and all of them. But we're not talking about any of them this morning. Two mothers that you may never have heard of unless you've just read this little bit of Scripture. I didn't think I'd ever preached on these. Faith says she thought I had on one of them, so I may have at some time or the other. But these are two people that you probably never heard a sermon about. The first one is found there in the Old Testament. Second one's going to be found in the New Testament. So look down there, if you would. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, "And there came there two women that were harlots." These are two prostitutes that came. "They came unto the king, and they stood before him. And the one woman said, 'Oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass in the third day after that, that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house.'" She puts that in because there was no witness to what I'm going to tell you. She says, "Save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it," or she rolled over on it, "and the child suffocated. And she arose at midnight, and she took my son from beside me while thine handmaiden slept. And she laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, 'Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son.' And this said, 'No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son.' Thus they spake before the king. And then said the king, 'This one saith that this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. Thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the one who liveth.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.' And then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her." In the Old Testament, they used the bowels where we would say the heart. They knew the feeling came from deep down inside somewhere, came up on her son. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other one said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." And then the king answered and said, "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." That's the first example we've got there of motherhood. An unlikely person, a prostitute now, who has come to the king. Her and another prostitute are arguing about whose son it is. One son has died and the other son is alive. And each one of them are claiming the son. So we learn some things from this, though, I think. It's the Bible. We can learn from anywhere in the Bible and anything that's in there. That's why God gives it. It's not in there just to fill up pages, but we learn from it. I think the first thing we can learn as we look at this is that not all moms are perfect. Now, that's not to put you down, Mom. That's to simply lift you up there. Moms deserve to be treated with care and with love and respect, and we need to give that to our mother. This woman here, this mother, she was a prostitute. Now, you know, when we hear about that, we can sit right up and our ears perk up in our church pews and we think, how terrible, how terrible. Why would Solomon waste his time on two prostitutes? Two people are totally outside the will of God. Why would he waste his time on them? Why would he even listen to their case? They're out of God's will, and we know that they are. Prostitution is out of God's will, and we know that God does not approve of that. But you know, God was concerned about these two women because God is concerned about everyone, and God is concerned about you. No matter what you may have done in your life or where you may be right now, God is concerned. And so because of God's concern, Solomon now is concerned. Now, as a church, we certainly have to take a moral stand. We have to take a stand against the immoral act. We would certainly have to take a stand against prostitution and about what these women were involved in. But also as a church, we got to remember, we always must take a stand for love. We've always got to have that love. God loved these two prostitutes who came before the king just as much as he loves any one of us. No matter how we're living our life for him, he loved them just as much. We also, as a church, we've got to take a stand for forgiveness. Forgiveness. We've got to be those who forgive. Why? Because God has forgiven us. And the Bible indicates in it that if we do not forgive, then he does not forgive us. Certainly none of us want to be in that position. So we take a stand for forgiveness. We take a stand for restoration. Now let's restore these women. Let's get these women to the place that they ought to be in life. You see, we look at them and say, why? Why? They're not following God's ideal. Why would Solomon even spend his time with them? Why would he do that? Do we follow God's ideal always? You see, sometimes we become very judgmental in our attitude about people, and very judgmental in what we might think about others because they're not meeting God's ideal. But really what we're saying is they're not meeting my ideal. They're not what I think they ought to be. You see, there are none of us that totally 100% meet God's ideal. So God was concerned, and because of that, Solomon was concerned. Another thing we see here, God can answer your problems, Mom. Sometimes it's problems being a mom, isn't it? I'm sure that it is. Being a mom is a very stressful thing, I would think, over and over again. And maybe the more children you have, the more stressful that it is. I heard about one lady that her husband came in that afternoon. He walked in the door and there she stood. Her hair was all a mess on it. She had on her old flannel bathrobe. Clothes were strewn all over the floor. Toys were everywhere. There was dishes all in the sink in the kitchen. And he looked at her and she said, "Don't say a word. Every day you come home and ask me, what did you do today? Today, I just didn't do it." There's a whole lot to do, isn't it, Mom? A whole lot that you never get recognition for whatsoever. And appreciation. We don't show our appreciation like we should. There was one woman that her husband came home one day, wanted to show how much that he appreciated her. And so he went out and bought her a dozen long stem roses, a great big box of candy. He wants to surprise her, so he comes up and knocks on the door. And she comes to the door. She looks at him, and she just bursts out in tears. He said, "Honey, what's wrong?" She said, "The sink overflowed today." She said, "The car wouldn't start. I couldn't find the children for about an hour today. I burnt supper, and now you come home drunk." She said, "This caps it all up." How about it, Dad? How about it? If you came with roses and a box of candy, would they think you're drunk because you never do it? You never show that appreciation that you ought to? You know, on Wednesday night, we've been studying in the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, it said, "Be ye not drunk with wine," in line with this, "but be ye filled with the Spirit." And then it goes right on in a couple of verses and said, when you're filled with the Spirit, what? "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Not a better day than today, Dad, for you to step up there and for you to show that love. Show that love that you have. Husbands, love your wife. To what degree? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, Solomon had a great wisdom, but the wisdom that Solomon had came from God. It wasn't Solomon's wisdom. God instilled this wisdom into him. God has the wisdom to help you, Mom, with all of the stress and all of the problems and all of the rearing of the children. I know kids have special needs. God has special wisdom. God can meet that need no matter what that need might be. Then another thing we see here, there's nothing like a mother's love. You know, you can almost hear Solomon saying there, will the real mother stand up? And she did. She stood up. She was willing that her child should go and live with this other woman rather than her child being destroyed. She was willing to sacrifice. Moms sacrifice, don't they? Over and over again. They began that sacrifice when they carried you for 9 months there in the pregnancy. I'm sure all of that wasn't an easy time and a hard time, but yet they did. They did that. You know, there's so many of millions every year that the mother does not carry them. They are aborted. None of us were aborted. We are here. We can thank our mom for that and for carrying us for that. Nobody else will carry you 9 months. Reminds me of the story of the little boy that was in about the third or fourth grade, and he was in math class, and the teacher was teaching him fractions. And the teacher said, well, now suppose your mother made a pie, and it was you and your father and your two brothers and your mother. What fraction of the pie would you get? He thought for a minute. He said, 1/4. The teacher said, no, that's not right. Remember, there are five of you. How much of the pie would you get? He said, 1/4. The teacher said, no, it's evident you don't understand fractions. He said, no, it's evident you don't understand my mom. She'd say she didn't want any just so we all could get a bigger piece. How many times do moms do that? How many times do mom wear the old outfits so that you can get the new outfit? How many times do mom wear the old shoes so you can get those shoes that you want, that you had to have because everybody else had them? Mom, it's a stressful thing. And moms sacrifice. They sacrifice. They're willing to sacrifice their time for us. They have no time for themselves many times. I heard about one woman who had her third child. Someone wanted to give her a gift, and they gave her a playpen. So she set the playpen up. She wrote a note back to them, and she said, you know, thank you so much for the playpen. It is used every day. Every day from 2 to 3, I get in it to get away from the kids so that I can read. Moms sacrifice, don't their whole life is built around their children. You know, today is their day. It's their day. Think about what all they've done for us, and don't let a mother's love go unappreciated. An unlikely mom, yet a mom that teaches us a lesson. Second mom, then, we're going to look at. That is over in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. And then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, this is Jesus, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Miss Zebedee now, she comes. Only two verses in the Bible mention Miss Zebedee. We don't think a lot about Miss Zebedee. When you think about great mothers, I'm sure Miss Zebedee here probably does never get on your list. And yet, Miss Zebedee teaches us something. First of all, she's aware of the kingdom. Now, she's a Jew, we know, because James and John were Jews. She is a Jew. But yet now, she has come and realized that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Messiah. He's going to have a kingdom. He will establish that kingdom. And her sons, they're very close to Jesus. They were part, two-thirds of the inner circle. And when you read through the scripture, and Jesus brought in that inner circle always to be with him, it was Peter, James, and John that he always brought in. Her sons are two of those. And she wondered, are they going to have a position in the kingdom? Are they going to have a position with the Messiah here? She's began to wonder about it. And so she comes and she asks Jesus for a request here. Now, Mrs. Zebedee had been criticized a lot, that she was too bold, that she was selfish, that she should not have asked that favoritism for her sons. But I think Mrs. Zebedee had some good qualities in that. When we look at what she did, she sets an example for every mother and what every mother ought to do. The first thing is she prayed that her sons would be a part of the kingdom. Mom, you need to pray that your children will be saved, that they'll be a part of the children. The greatest thing that you can do as a mother is to ensure that your children hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they hear it there in the home, that you read it to them, that you speak it to them, that you tell them, that you let them know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. That's the greatest thing that you can do. Now, I know moms are busy. I know that they are. And it's tough being one. There's a lot of responsibilities that mom has. They are teachers in the home. They are cooks. They are house cleaners. They are chauffeurs. They are doctors. They're nurses. They're counselors. They're referees. And mom, you'll like to hear this. I looked it up on the internet for 2013. The figure of what a mom, stay-at-home mom, is worth in the household for what she does, if she were in the marketplace, she would earn $113,586. And for the woman who works out of the mother who works out of the home and still has to come home and do many of those things, the salary for them would be an additional $67,436. That's how bad. Some of y'all need to ask for a raise. You need to negotiate this afternoon, you know. But isn't it amazing that moms do so much in the home? Now, dads do a lot too, but this is Mother's Day. Moms do so much there in the home. It's, mom, you need to tell them about Jesus. You need to be sure you do that. Your children, they can bring you some of the greatest, happiest moments in your life, but they also can bring you some of the saddest moments in your life. You need to be sure that they hear about Jesus. Now, they got to make the decision. You can't make it for them, but you be sure they hear about Jesus. What good is it if your child is the most successful person in the world and becomes a multi-billionaire if they don't know Jesus? What did the scripture say? What does it gain you? What does it gain? What does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Your most important role as a mother is to tell them about Jesus. We need to claim some of these things that Mrs. Z did. We need to claim this and let our children know. Also, she went on and she wanted her children to be involved in the work of the kingdom. She didn't just want them to be a Christian. She didn't want them to just be saved. She wanted them to get involved there. She said, can one sit on the right hand and one sit on the left? You see, these were the seats of prominence. On the right hand was the highest and on the left. Not sure which one she wanted on the right, which one on the left, but those were the seats of prominence. She wanted her children to be involved. Too many are very content to be saved and just sit in the seats, sit in the pews, and never really do much for the Lord. She wasn't content with that. She prayed that her children would be involved. So, mom, when your children get saved, you don't stop praying. You keep praying for them. You keep lifting them up. You keep praying they'll do the work of the church. Because the greatest example, now remember, about service for the Lord that they're going to see is right there in the home. They're going to see you. They're going to walk in your steps. Heard about the lady that on Monday morning, she started around doing her duties in the house. Her little four-year-old son was right behind her. Every step she took, he took. Every step she took, he took another one. She turned around a couple of times and knocked him over, not knowing he was there. And after a little bit of this, she finally stopped and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, yesterday in Sunday school, our teacher said we should walk in the footsteps of Jesus." He said, Jesus is not here, but you are. So I'm walking in your, mom, they'll do that whether you want them to or not. They'll walk in your footsteps. So it's very important that you pray for them and you set the example for them. You pray that they'll decide to do something for Jesus. You pray for them to be preachers or missionaries or worship leaders or sing in the choir or be Sunday school teachers or be elders or be deacons wherever you are, whatever. Pray that they don't just get saved, but they really want to be involved. Then Mrs. Zebedee also, she had big expectations. She didn't want her sons to just get into heaven and be the doorkeeper. Of course, we know that's Peter, isn't it? All the jokes and story, Peter's the doorkeeper. She didn't want them to just get in and have a lowly position. She wanted them at the right. She wanted them at the left-hand side. She wasn't satisfied for them to just be mediocre in their Christian life. She wanted them involved. Mom, once again, pray for your children. Pray for them. We need to strive for excellence ourselves in serving God. And when we do that, we're setting the example then for our children, that our children will also strive for excellence in serving God. You know, when God created a mom, he created the little thing I remember I read years ago, Irma Bombeck went through, and I think I shared it with you one year about God creating a mom. But he created someone who is so much like himself. He created someone who has a love like he has. A love that is an unconditional love. You look at all these people on death row and all these people that have committed these crimes, and you go and ask their mother, and what is it? I just believe he's innocent. My son or my daughter just wouldn't do that. Unconditional love. That's what moms have. There was a true story that came out of World War II about a man by the name of Saul Rosenberg. He was carried off to the German concentration camps along with his mother, his father, his wife, and his two sons, Joshua and David. The idea in the concentration camp was if you could work and you could do your job, they kept you. If not, you were carried off to the furnace or off to the gas chamber. Well, Saul Rosenberg was there long enough to see his mother, who got so weak in the work that she no longer was useful, and she was carried off. His father was carried off. It was just him and his wife and his two sons. And every day when they come back in from the work, they would all hover together. They would pray together, tell one another how much they loved one another. And one day Saul Rosenberg came in, and he looked, and he couldn't find his wife, and he couldn't find his son. He knew probably his youngest son, David, would be the next one because David was frail, and he couldn't work like the others. And Joshua was sitting in the corner crying, and he went over to him, and he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Where's your mother?" He said, "They came to get David today." They got him, and as they started out, David began to cry. And as David was crying, he said, "I'm so afraid." And he said, mother walked over and took him by the hand and said, "David, don't be afraid. I'll go with you." You know, that's what a mother does. And I'm sure there's not a one of you here today that found yourself in that position as a mother who would not do the very same thing. That's what mothers are. Let's show our appreciation for them today. Mom, it's your day. We hope you have a great day. Let's give them that hug around the neck, and let's tell them simply that, listen, Mom, we love you. We love you. And let me tell you, Dad, and you husband, the greatest thing that you can do for your wife and your children's mother is, or your do for your children is to love their mother. That's the greatest thing you can do for them. There are children everywhere wondering, will my home even last throughout the day? Will my mother and dad still be together throughout this day? Listen, Dad, love your wife. It's the greatest thing you can do for your children. And the scripture says what? Love your wife like Christ loved the church. Children, love your mother. Love your father. But especially your mother today, show her that appreciation. Scripture says, honor thy mother and father that thy days may be long upon the earth. first commandment we have with a promise is that. So you honor mom today. And mom, we do say thank you so much. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this time that we've had to study your word. We thank you, Father, for these two mothers that we looked at. By most standards, would be considered very insignificant to us, but by your standards, Father, they're not insignificant. They were significant enough that you put them in your word. And we thank you so much for that. We pray for our mothers. We know it's a hard job. It's a tough job. And Father, it's a job that doesn't go away when the children move out. It still is a hard job and a tough job. And we just pray, Father, for them. Pray you'll give them the strength that they need, that they may always stay close to you. And Father, we just pray that your will might be done during this time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So have a hymn of invitation. We invite you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about a decision in your life to be saved, rededication, become a part of this fellowship, whatever it might be, we invite you to come.